month of Sivan in the Jewish calendar always has 30 days. Whenever you have a month that has 30 days, so the next month has 2 days Rosh Chodesh. The first day Rosh Chodesh is really not Rosh Chodesh, it's the 30th day of Sivan. And Rosh Chodesh is really the next day, the second day Rosh Chodesh. In Breuer's shul, they always announce Ma'ariv or Rosh Chodesh, they always announce after Kaddish, before the Shemoneh Esrei, that everyone should remember to say Yalav Yavai. So they follow what it says on the first page in the Maharil. The Maharil records all of the Minhagim from Germany. So the first, and he starts with Nissan here, Sivan, he goes in the order of the Jewish calendar, starting with Nissan, Chodesh HaRishon. So he writes that on the first day, Rosh Chodesh, the Shamas or the Gabbai should announce Yalav Yavai, because it's not really Rosh Chodesh. On the second, when you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, on the second of Rosh Chodesh, the Shamas of the Gabbai will scream out Rosh Chodesh. But on the first night of Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't say Rosh Chodesh, he just says Yalav Yavai, because it's not really Rosh Chodesh. This month, we'll have Shivasa B'Tammuz. We hope we won't have to fast. We hope the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt by then. And the Pasuk says in Novi and Zechariah, that all of these Taneisim, Shabbosim, Tamasim, Gedalia, Yiyu, L'Sasim, L'Simcha, L'Beis Yisrael will be converted into a Yontif. So the calculation of Shabbosim, Tamas, we hope it'll be a Yontif, or if it'll be a Yom Avelus, whatever, you start counting from the second day, Rosh Chodesh. You don't count from the first day. The only time you count from the first day is on Rosh Hashanah, because the second day Rosh Hashanah is only Midi Rabbanah. And our third is only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. So that's a big question tonight. Is the first day Rosh Chodesh, does this exist Ben HaTorah? The 2 days Rosh Chodesh? Or should we assume no? The second day Rosh Chodesh is really Rosh Chodesh. And the first day is only Midi Rabbanah. So they believe Rosh Chodesh Midi Rabbanah because it's already after the Moilid. Moilid already was. So that's why we Midi Rabbanah, we act on the first day as if it were Rosh Chodesh. So that's the majority opinion. That when you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the first day is only an invention Midi Rabbanan, because it's after the Moilad. The minority opinion is, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes clearly, that the first day Rosh Chodesh is only Midi Rabbanan. Minority opinion is quoted by the Shilta Giborim on the side of the Rif, on Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And there is such a minority view that the first day Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh Ben HaTorah. This poses a problem, because there is a Tosefta, that the Bali Atos is called. How many Chatas? Every Rosh Chodesh should bring 11 Musafim. Every day bring Tamash HaShachar, Tamash HaBein HaBayim. And on Rosh Chodesh should bring 11 Musafim, 10 Oilas and 1 Chatas, Soila Chatas. So how many Seirei Chatos, Seirei Rosh Chodeshim are there in the Meshach, in the course of the whole year? So Tosefta says either 12 or 13, depending whether it's a leap year. You have 13 months. If it's not a leap year, you have 12 months. So the Tosefta says, Beferish, that you only bring 12 or 13 Siri Rosh Chodeshim. But if every other month has 30 days, and you have 30 days, the first day Rosh Chodesh is also Ben HaTorah. So you should have many more. You should have 18 or 19 Rosh Chodeshim. Isn't it clear from the Tosefta that the first day Rosh Chodesh is only a make-believe Din Midi Rabbanan, and it's not Rosh Chodesh Ben HaTorah? So the answer is, the Pasuk in Chumash says, lists off the Musafim that I brought, and says, this is Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho. So we usually translate, we usually don't look in Unkelis, usually translate like Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, this is the weekly Musaf that's brought every single Shabbos. So Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho, we usually translate without looking into Unkelis, this is the monthly Musaf that's brought on every Rosh Chodesh. The Targum Unkelis does not translate like that, and the Rambam in one place refers to that Targum Unkelis. Targum Unkelis translates Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho. This is the Korban Musaf that's brought B'Chidusho Shel Levona. It's not like Shabbos B'Shabbato, the weekly. So here it would have meant the monthly Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho, the monthly Korban. No, Olas Chodesh, this is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh that's brought. So that's what for the Targum Unkelis it would appear, even if one should assume that the first day Rosh Chodesh is Ben HaTorah, you don't bring the Musafim. The Musafim are only brought in connection with Chidush Shalavonis, it's only on the one day of Rosh Chodesh, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So with respect to what is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Min HaTorah? What's special, what is unique about Rosh Chodesh? The only thing, on Pesach, you don't eat chametz and you eat matzah and you make a seder on Sukkah. So you shake a little bit in Sukkah. On Shavuos, there's a Nisa Malacha. On all the Yavim Taifim, there's a special mitzvah Sayyid. What mitzvahs do you have in Rosh Chodesh aside from bringing the Musaf? You say the first day is Rosh Chodesh Ben HaTorah, like the minority opinion. But you don't bring the Musafim, so with respect to what is it, Rosh Chodesh? So the answer is, it's respect to Achi of Simcha. There's an Issa Hesped V'tainis. The first day Rosh Chodesh, whether it's Ben HaTorah Medirabbanan, according to many it's Ben HaTorah. According to the minority opinion, it's Ben HaTorah. It's a Yontif that has a Chi of Simcha. But usually Chi of Simcha is fulfilled b'kum b'yasei. You recite Hallel, and you have a half-bus of a Yayin, and a real Yontif, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Rosh Chodesh has Simcha b'shei v'al tase. You're not allowed to deliver a hesped, you're not allowed to listen to a hesped, you're not allowed to fast all day long. This is, you don't have to do Simcha b'kum b'yasei, but hesped v'tainis is aser, because that would be mevatel v'simcha. So in the days of the Vayisheni, the Chachamim added on many Yom Tovim in the Rabbanan. Every time they improved the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, every time they defended the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed, every time the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, so they made a Yontif to celebrate the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was spared from destruction. It's along the lines of Chanukah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about all of these Yom Tovim that are listed off in the Megillah Steinus. It's called Megillah Steinus because it was written down in the Megillah at the time that the rest of the Mishnayos was still being recited by Pen. It was prohibited to learn Mishnayos mitoch haktzav. Torah Shabbat was supposed to be transmitted by Pen. And the Megillah Steinus was the only thing that was written mixav. That's how Rashi writes on the Gemara. So Megillah Steinus starts from Nisan Yosiva. And it lists off all of the Yom Tovim that were introduced in the Rabbanan, this man by Yisheni, and Atzad HaShav Shebem, the thing that they all have in common is that they had something or another to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, improving of the structure, improving of the Hakrovas HaKarbonis, improving the institution of Kuhn and Gedoyla, or improving the institution of Sanhedrin Gedoyla, both of which, Kuhn and Gedoyla and Sanhedrin Gedoyla, are functions of the Beis HaMikdash, have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So all of these Yavim Tovim have a din of Simcha, the Shevi Al Tasa, the Asa, the Hesped, and some of them are even Asa, the Tainus. And this was patterned after the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh, and the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh in Brit Musafim. And outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov that has a din of Simcha, the Shevi Al Tasa. You're not allowed to do Hesped, the Tainus. From the Rambam would appear that's a din in our Torah. These are Hesped the Tainus or Rosh Chodesh is Ben HaTorah. So the Rabbanan they made additional Yamim Tovim. So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in a long sugya, that the Chachamim are only permitted to institute additional Yamim Tovim with the Rabbanan if the background of the Yom Tov has something to do, something or another to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash or leading to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. In Aschalta de Gehula, Gehula means building of the Beis HaMikdash. Aschalta de Gehula means something that's going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash, improving the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash. So every so often, there would be communities. Chaim gave me an essay in which they explain, that in Saloniki, we met the rabbi today when we were in the Jewish Museum. So the rabbi was telling us that here in Saloniki they read the Megillah both on Purim and on Shushan Purim, on Yudalet Ador and on Tezvav Ador, because they consider Saloniki a suffix whether it had a wall around it for the days of Yeshua ben Nun. It's very far-fetched. The city was founded 300 years before the Common Era. So how can it be that it had a wall in the days of Yeshua ben Nun if the city didn't exist? The rabbi said the people in the city consider it a suffix, like in Prague also, I think. They read the Megillah on Yudal and Tezvav Ador, because they consider it a suffix, Mukov Chanum and Mersu Shuvin. So they observe 2 days of Purim. Then, there's a third day of Purim, the first day of Pesach. in the 1500s, when the Lecha Mishnah lived here and the Marashdam lived here and it had a lot of prominent Rabbonim, the governor of the region taxed the Jews in very unfair fashion, and he was taxing the Jews way more than they could afford, and he was going to put them in prison. He was going to torture them if they don't give him all the taxes. So they were giving as much as they came, as much as they could. And they emptied out everybody's savings. They gave. And the people were going to say, the Rabbanim were going to say, Tainus, they were saying Tilim, they were saying Tfilas. And then on the first night of Pesach, they were fasting Tanais. And the first night of Pesach, in Shul, after Mairev, they added Tfilas and Chinas and Slichas and everything on night of Pesach. And then the Rav got up, and he said, in Shul, we have done all we can do. We call upon the Rabbanu Shalom. He has to do what he has to do. He has to save us. We don't know what more we can do. And they had Rosh HaKohol were put in prison, and they were torturing them. And some of the people remembered the stories that they heard about Spain and Portugal, the way they tortured so many of the Jews till a lot of them were killed, a lot of them lost their lives. Like the Nazis tortured so many Jews, and they were also torturing Jews. So that night, the first night of Pesach, they were at their wits' ends. And the Rav said, in Shul, we've done all we know what to do. We gave away all of our money. We were davening and saying slichas and fasting and everything. That was up to the Rabbanu Shalom to do. The next morning, they found out that this governor who was, they have his name, I think he was the king or something. So the next morning, they found out he dropped dead that night. And that was the end of the Gzeira Rav. So they used to celebrate every year. The first day of Pesach was when they released all of the Rosh HaKol from prison. We celebrate Pesach anyway. It's Yom Tov Pesach, but they had an additional element of celebration. So this was the Purim of Saloniki, to establish a Yom Tov for all of Klal Yisrael. So then the Gemara says the rule is the Yom Tov has to have something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. If it has nothing to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash or approving of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, then it's a violation of Bal Tosef. You're not allowed to institute such a yontif. But if it's only a local yontif, let's say a family celebrates their wedding anniversary every year, so that's not an avera of Bal Tosef. Bal Tosef would be if you make a yontif for all of Klal Yisrael. That's a Yom Atzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim. It's celebrated all over the world. Less than 1% of the religious Jews on the Turi Karta, they don't celebrate. But all the Orthodox Jews all over the world celebrate. So you're only permitted to celebrate an additional yontif if you really think that it has something to do with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, if you think this is going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's only if it's for all of Klal Yisrael. I live in Washington Heights. In Washington Heights, when you have a Shana Mu'uberes, you have a leap year. So there's one day in Adar Sheni, which they call Frankfurt Purim. Some kind of Yeshua occurred centuries ago. And they leave at Tachnun on that day. Every year that they have, every couple of years when there's a Shana Mu'uberes, so they leave at Tachnun. So the Magen Avraham, in his commentary on Hilchas Purim, quotes from the Jewish Maharam al-Shakar that's not a violation of Bal Tosef if a city establishes such a yontif, because it only looks like a real yontif if all of Klal Yisrael celebrates. If a family celebrates, that's not family or a community, that's not an issue. So they used to observe 2 days Purim here because they considered it a Sachik Mukav Chaimah. Then the first day of Pesach, they would celebrate also Saloniki Purim, but everybody's celebrating anyway because of Pesach. And then there was a fourth day in the course of the year that they also celebrated because there was also a Yeshua. That day was not anyway a Yantav. I forgot what day of the year it was. And Chaim gave me a whole Megillah that was written in Hebrew that tells over the whole story. That whenever the king would come to town, so there were many different shuls, so all the gabbayim from all the shuls would take out the Sifrei Torah out of respect for the king. They would take out the Sifrei Torah when the procession was going through town. So after many years of doing this, the gabbayim got together and they decided it's not covered a sefer to take a Sifrei Torah. So they decided they're just going to take the shell, the container, and they leave the Sifrei Torah in the shul. And the king won't know the difference. So they pulled this off, I think, for 11 years. They would come whenever there would be a procession, because the king of the governor was going through the city, So they would just carry the round shell of the Sefer Torah without any Sefer Torah in it. So it was a Meshumet who mased to the king, and he told me, you know that the Jews are fooling you, that when they have the procession in your honor, they leave the Sefer Torah in shul, because they consider it a bizoyan to the Sefer to be taken out in your honor. They don't respect you. You should check and you'll see that it's so. So the king was furious when he heard this, and he said he's going to check. So the night before the procession, they knew the king was going to come. I think there were 12 different shuls, 12 different communities in Saloniki where they had the gaboim would take the Sefer Torah out. So the gaboim of each one of the 12 shuls, I think, had a dream that an old man, Eliyahu Navi, came to him and he said, this time you should put the Sefer Torah in. Mark my words. Don't tell anybody anything. Don't tell anybody. Just make sure you keep the Sefer Torah. So all of the 12 gaboim had the same dream, I think. And the next day when the procession took place, they all carried the shells with the Sefer Torah in them. So the king stopped the whole procession, stopped the music, and he said, I want them to open up the containers to see if there's really a Sefer Torah, because I was told that they're pulling my leg. So all the gaboim opened up all the Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah were there. So the king was so furious at the Meshumet, he put him to death. And they established that day as another Purim. So they celebrate Purim 4 times a year. Yudal and Tezvav Ador, because it's a Tzofet Book of Chaima. And on the first day, Pesach, they had a Yeshua, but that day is anyway Pesach. And on this one day a year when they had this Yeshua. This Yeshua had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, but since the celebration was only local, it's not for all of Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't have to be governed with the rules and regulations of Al Tosef. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. This is the special celebration of Purim 4 times a year in Saloniki.
Here you go.
Good morning, everyone. Agud
L'chaydash.
When we daven Musaf on Shalosh Regalim, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. We should all have the opportunity of Shamna'alev and Eroyev and Ishtachu L'fanecho. We should have the opportunity to be Oyla Regal. The mitzvah of Ali Oyla Regal is only on Shalosh Regalim. That's why Pesach Shavuot Sukkos are called Shalosh Regalim, because you Oyla Regal, you go by foot. The simple reading of the Mishnayos seem to imply that if someone drives up from Yerushalayim to the top of Har HaBayis, it's not a fulfillment of a mitzvah. You have to walk up by foot. And the Gemara says that if someone is a chigger, someone limps and he's unable to walk on his own, he's not obligated to do Aliyah L'Regel, because he simply can't fulfill the mitzvah unless he can walk on his own. On Shabbos, we don't say B'Sham Na'alev and Eroyev and Ishtachu L'Fanecho. Rosh Chodesh also we don't say that, because there is no mitzvah of the other regal. We say Misham, we will bring the karbanos, as it says in Chumash. However, the very end of the Navi Yeshaya, the Navi talks about losi lovai. So the pasuk says, Loyomi de Chodesh b'chodesho, midei Shabbos b'shabbato, yavoi kol basol l'shtachvos lofanai, omar Hashem. That's the Haftarah, the last perek in Yeshaya is the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Hashamayim Kisi. And the Haftarah ends with a pasuk that talks about Puranas. So that's the minig. There are 4 Svarim in Tanakh that after we complete them, we repeat next to the last pasuk. The siman is Yud Tov Kuf Kuf, Yeshaya, Trey Osar, Koheles and Kinnis. Kinnis is Eicha. So the very last pasuk in Yeshaya is about Puranas, about punishing the Rishayim. So we repeat this pasuk again after we finish that Haftarah. After we finish Yeshaya, V'ayomi dechodesh b'chodshoi, v'zei Shabbos b'shabbato, yavol kol basor l'shtachos l'fanai, Mar Hashem. So there's a very fascinating comment that appears in the Yalkut Shemoni, the Medrash, on that pasuk, that there are so many years of Golus, and B'nai Yisrael are crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we missed the opportunity to fulfill Aliyah L'Regel on Sholosh Regalim. So many years that there's no Beis HaMikdash, almost 2,000 years. So So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us, Kindalach, if you really feel bad about it, that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, La'asi Lavai, when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, not only will you have an opportunity to do Aliyah L'Regel on Sholosh Regalim, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato, Shabbos sometimes in Tanakh doesn't refer to Shabbos. We call Shabbos Saturday Shabbos, we call Shabbos Bereshis. Shabbos. But in Chumash, sometimes the word Shabbos means Yontif. Like it says in Chumash, we should start counting Sfira Mimachos on Shabbos. We don't start counting Sfira always on a Sunday. We always start counting Sfira the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So the term Mimachos on Shabbos doesn't mean the day after Shabbos, means the day after Yontif. So in this pasuk as well, the Medrash understands the pasuk V'yomi Dei Chodesh B'Chodshei Haneri Rosh Chodesh V'Dei Shabbos B'Shabbatei An Sholosh V'Golim Yavoi Kol Basor. All people will come to be Oyle Regel Neshtach Vosel Fanai Omar Hashem, like we say in the Shemana Esri, in the Musaf Dei Shemana Esri An Sholosh V'Golim Shom Nala B'Nei Roi B'Neshtach V'Lo Fanach. We want to go visit the Shechina, be Meshtachve in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara. That's what it says here. Yovel Kavosa Nishtach Vos Lofanai means we'll all visit the Azara. We'll all do Hishtachvoa. Hishtachvoa is an obligation. Whoever visits the Azara is obligated to perform Hishtachvoa. That's what it says in the Mishnah Yis in Maseches Tomei. It says every day of the year they divided the Hakrovas HaKarbonis among many different Kohanim. They used to have a lottery, so they would determined based on the lottery from all the Kohanim who are standing there in the Azara, who has the right to shech the Karban Tavon Shel Shachar, Mim Kabbalah Saddam. The different Kohen is going to do Kabbalah Saddam, different Kohen is going to do Zrika Saddam, different Kohen is going to do Hefshit, different Kohen is going to do Nituach. And then Haktorah and the Mizbeach, every Kohen had an opportunity to bring a separate section of the Behemah onto the Kevish, and then from the Kevish onto the Mizbeach. So they're mechabed many Kohanim to be makrif the Tom Shel Shachar, and many Kohanim to be makrif the Tom Shel Bein Abayim. So when the Mishnah describes this whole system, the Mishnah is Tamid, so it says each Kohen did his share of the Avodah of Hakrovas Atminim V'Hamusafim, and then it says Hishtach B'Yotzah. Everybody was Mishtach when they left the Azorah, because you're not allowed to sit in the Azor, you have to stand. So if you want to sit down and relax, you have to leave the Azor. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that you see from the Mishnah is that Kol HaNichnasim LaAzara, anyone who enters the Azor for whatever purpose is obligated to be Mishtachava. What is the source of this idea? So the Vilna Gaon says the source is the Pasuk and Parshas Kisavoy in connection with Bikurim. It says we should bring Bikurim, we should recite the Rami Avirovi, and then it's the Hishtach Aviso, the Pnei Hashem Velokecho. So the Vilna Gaon says, the Hishtach Aviso is not really part of the mitzvah of Bikurim. It's a general rule. Kol HaNichnosim LaAzor, whoever enters the Azor for whatever purpose, has to be Mishtachva before he leaves. So on Sholosh Regalim, when everyone, all the men, have an obligation to be Oyle Regel, the world calls it Churcho. Women don't have an obligation to. If they want to, it's fine. But the men have an obligation to be Oyle Regel to visit the Azorah. Really, once you visit the Azorah, you have to have Hishtachavua. So that's why in the davening you say, Shamalal, Ebenei Roya, Minishtach Velofenacha, Ebenei Roya, means Yeroa calls a Churcho, to appear in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the Azorah. Then Minishtach Velofenacha. So the Yalkut Shemani says, on this, next to the last pasuk in Yeshayah, that Masik Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch will give us an opportunity to fulfill Aliyah L'Regel so many more times, sort of to make up for all of the years and centuries of Aliyah L'Regel that we missed when there was no Beis HaMikdash. And not only will be Oyle Regel, not only will we be Oyle Regel on the Sholosh Regalim, that's Oyom Yidei Shabbos B'Shabbato. Shabbos means Yontif. But the pasuk says, "V'hayom bidei chodesh b'chodesh." Every Rosh Chodesh, we will have Aliyah L'Regel. This poses a problem, a major problem, because we know from the Rambam that there are 13 Ikari Amunah. one of the major Ikori Amuna in our generation, that's the major difference between the Orthodox and the others, is the Ikir and Amuna Shezos HaTorah Lo Seim Mukhlefes, that the laws of the Torah never change. Different generations, different Ikorim are more Ikir than others. In our generation, there isn't any dispute among the Jews whether there's a Trinity or not. We all believe in monotheism, right? There are sections of Jews that don't believe in the existence of God, and they think that they're Jewish. So that's one of the major Ikorim of we believe that God does exist. We believe that there is Chardionish and so on. But that the major machlekes that the Orthodox have with everybody else is whether the laws of the Torah lend themselves to change. How can the Yalkut Shemayni say that La'osid Lavoi, not only will we be obligated to perform Aliyah L'Rego on the Sholosh V'Golim, we will be given opportunity to perform Aliyah L'Rego on Rosh Chodesh? What do you mean the laws of the Torah are going to change? So there's another pasuk in Navi that seems to imply that it's not going to change. It was always like this. There was always an option. If a person is going to decide to do Aliyah L'Regel on Purim, on Chanukah, so there's no Kiyumah Mitzvah at all. But if a person chooses to, there's such a concept as a Mitzvah Sarshus, a Mitzvah, usually it's we assume a Mitzvah does mean a good deed. A Mitzvah means a commandment. So it's difficult a little bit to understand how can there be such a thing as a Mitzvah Sarshus. You're not obligated to perform the Mitzvah, but if you do this activity, then it constitutes a Kiyumah Mitzvah. So this is a big chiddush that such a concept exists, mitzvahs of shus. They quote this also the name of the Vilna Goyim. Some Rishonim say like that, that although the obligation to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, but if a person eats matzah the rest of Pesach, he has a kiyumah mitzvah. There's no chiyuv, but there's a mitzvah kiyumis. That's a big chiddush. Some say that it can't be, the Vilna Goyim never said it. It's a contradiction in terms. A mitzvah means a commandment. So if you're not commanded, if you're not obligated to do a certain action, so I can say that there's a kiyumah mitzvah. But in Valozhin, where the yeshiva in Valozhin was founded by the student of Rav Chaim Valozhin, the student of the Vilna Gaon, by Rav Chaim Valozhin, in Valozhin, that's what they used to say. The name of the Vilna Gaon, the Netziv, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. The last 39 years, Valozhin Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. It was founded around 1801 and it was closed by the Russian government in around 1891 or so, 92. So in Valozhin Yeshiva, that was the tradition that the Vilna Gaon said like that, that the obligation to eat matzah is only on Leil HaSeder, and the rest of Pesach is a mitzvah kiyumis. And the Netziv quotes this in his commentary on Chumash, Haimek Dover, in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, the end of Chumash Vayikra, and he adds on more. He thinks he has additional circumstances where he can apply this concept of the Vilna Gaon, such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. So that's what it seems over here, that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel was always like that. The obligation to be Aliyah L'Regel is only on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. That's why they're called Sholosh V'Golim. Because of the obligation to be Ola Regel. And on Rosh Chodesh, there was always an optional mitzvah kiyumis. So that's really the pasuk says by Elisha Hanavi. Elisha used to travel around and visit different people. So it says when he came to he visited the Isha Shunamis, she was married, she had no children, and he gave her a bracha, she should have a baby. So the baby was born, and then the baby got a sunstroke, and he died. And the Isha Shunamis told the husband she's going to go visit Elisha. So the husband asks, she was afraid to tell her husband that the baby died. She didn't want him to be aggravated. So she says she wants to go visit Elisha. So he says, why are you interested in visiting the rabbi today? Lo chodesh hayom v'lo shabbos. Today is neither Rosh Chodesh nor is it Yontif. Shabbos over there also means Yontif. It's not Sholosh V'Golim. So the Gemara says, you see from this pasuk that on Sholosh V'Golim, Chai Baram L'Hakmol Pnei Rabbi Beregel, that everyone is obligated to visit the rabbi on Sholosh V'Golim. That used to be the meaning in Europe. They would visit the rabbi on Rabbi would make a Kiddush on Shabbos Chalamai, Pesach on Shabbos Chalamai, Tzilkis, and everyone would come visit the Rabbi, because Chayvanim Lahakmon Pei Rabbi Beregel. But the Pasuk says, the husband of the Isha Shanama said, why are you going to visit Elisha Navi? The Chodesh Hayom Lo Shabbos, that is neither Rosh Chodesh nor Shabbos, means nor Shalosh Shigolim. What do you mean, Rosh Chodesh, you go visit the Rabbi? The Gemara says, Beregel, you have to visit the Rabbanan Beregel. So the Nadi Yehuda has a famous tshuva that's quoted by the commentaries on the page in Shulchan Aruch, that there can't be an obligation to visit the Rebbe in excess of visiting the Shechinah. V'zman she Beis Hamikdash hayakayim, when there was an obligation to visit in the Beis Hamikdash, so then there was an obligation to visit the Rebbe. V'zman hazeh is not Beis Hamikdash. So the maximum you can say is that visiting the Rebbe is only midrabbanan. It can't be that it's midrabbanan today. Because it cannot be that there's a greater chiyuv kavod to the Rebbe than there is to the Shechinah. This is based on a Gemara in Kiddushin. Gemara says that we only have an obligation to recite Shema once in the daytime, once at nighttime. To be mekabel olam hashamayim. So our obligation to stand up for the rabbi is only once in the daytime, once in the nighttime. Can't be an obligation to be mechabed the Rebbe more than the obligation to be mechabed the Shechinah. That's what the Nadi Yehuda says about visiting the Rebbe. It's mancha beis hamikdash hayakayim, and we visited the Azara, we visited the Shechinah, then there was a biblical obligation to visit the Rebbe also. But the Zman Hazeh, that is not beis hamikdash, and we're not visiting the Shechinah, so the maximum you can say is that visiting the Rebbe is only midrabbah. So the Pasuk says, the husband of Isha Shanama said, why do you want to go visit Elisha Novi? Lo Chodesh Hayom Lo Shabbos. Today is neither Rosh Chodesh nor Sholosh V'Golim. You see that the practice used to be, that there used to be Oyla, there was an optional Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh Chodoshim. Rosh Chodesh this morning we read from Parshas Pinchas, and Rosh Chodesh is together with the Sholosh V'Golim there. So on Sholosh V'Golim there's an obligation to be Oyla Regel. And now Rosh Chodesh, the Medrash Yalkut Shemani understands that there's an optional Aliyah L'Regel. There's a mitzvah kiyumis. That's what the Medrash says on the pasuk, and the very end of Yishai Lossi Vavoi. If there's so many years of missing Aliyah L'Regel, so the Navi tells us we'll have an opportunity, we will seize the opportunity that we always had. We never bothered to do it. Lossi Vavoi will feel bad about the fact we missed so much Aliyah L'Regel. So we'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah that was always there. The laws of the Torah are not going to change. There was always a mitzvah kiyumis in visiting the Azara on Rosh Chodesh. There is a fascinating agarita towards the end of Bav Metzia. Mora says that Eliyahu Anavi had the practice of coming to a certain yeshiva every day. So on one occasion on Rosh Chodesh he came late. So they asked him, how come he came late today? So he says, every Rosh Chodesh, he does this system. He goes to the Maros HaMachpela. He wakes up Avram Avinu, he washes Negel Vasa with him. As if the tzaddikim, b'misosam achayim, as if they're really alive, they're just sleeping. So when you wake up in the morning from sleeping, so he washes Tilas Yadayim. So he wakes up Avram Avinu, he washes Negel Vasa with him, and he davens with him, and then he tucks him back in to go back to sleep. And he wakes up Yitzchak Avinu, washes Negel Vasa with him, he davens with him, and he has him go back to sleep. He wakes up Yaakov Avinu, the same thing. So he had to wake up Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and daven each one, so it took so long. That's why he came late to the Beis Medrash. So they asked him in the Beis Medrash, why do you wake each one up separately? Wake all three up together and daven with all three together? So he won't take three times as long? So you could have come to the Beis Medrash on time. So Eliyahu Hanavi answers, he has no permission to do that. For all the three others would daven together simultaneously, they would daven for the coming of Mashiach, and the Rebbe Shlomo would have to send Mashiach. So the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't give him permission, doesn't give Eliyahu Hanavi permission to wake all three others up simultaneously, and each one daven separately, so the Kerach HaTfila is less. There is a practice today in Eretz Yisrael, they have a special bus ride from Yerushalayim or from different locations on Erev Rosh Chodesh. They go daven the Moras HaMachpela on Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's based on this Gemara in the end of Bob and Zia, Daf Pehei, that on Rosh Chodesh, even at the time of the Churban Abayis, Eliyahu Navi wakes up, goes to the Moras HaMachpela, he wakes up each one of the others, and he davens with them, and they daven that the Rabban Shalom should hasten the coming of Moshiach. So the Maharsha has an interesting comment. The Maharsha always has Chidushi Agada, the tiny letters of the Maharsha. In our generation, people are more interested in the Maharsha's Chidushi Agada than in the Chidushi Halacha. Chidushi Halacha, the Maharsha is a different style of learning. We're not used to it today. We have a different approach. But the Chidushi Agada, a lot of times, he has things that do appeal to modern people. So the Chidushi Agada on that, Agadata, Masha says, where is the source in Tanakh for such a concept that the Mason daven to the Rabban Shel Olam on Rosh Chodesh all year long? They don't daven only on Rosh Chodesh. So he says it's based on this pasuk in the end of Isha V'Hayom Midei Chodesh B'Chamshai Midei Shabbos B'Shabbat Ayavoy Kol Basar. The word Kol means all of mankind, even the people who are no longer alive, even the Mason. Avrom Yitzchak and Yankev are woken up by Eliyahu Navi on Rosh Chodashim and on Shalosh Megalim. To daven for the coming of Mashiach. So that's what we daven this morning in the Musaf. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We should have the opportunity to bring the Musafim. And also, according to the Medrash Yalkut Shemayni, we don't mention this in the Tefillah, but according to the Yalkut Shemayni, we should have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah of Shus that was always around. Namely, an optional mitzvah to do Aliyah L'Regel, Rosh Chodesh. This morning we recited Chatzi Hallel. Morris says that Rabbi Shmuel was students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the last generation of Tanoim. He's the one who edited the Mishnayos. His Talmidim were the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya, and many others. So Rabbi Shmuel lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were learning by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And they left Eretz Yisrael to service the Jewish communities in Chutz La'aretz. There is a mitzvah upon that's incumbent upon all of us to live in Eretz Yisrael. But we do need Rabbanim to lead the communities of Chutz La'aretz. So these two, Rabbi Shmuel, the students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, lived in Eretz Yisrael, but they moved specially to Bavel to establish yeshivas there. He made a degree of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The Gemara says that when Rav came to Bavel, the Balabatim was such a meratzim. They didn't observe Shabbos properly, they didn't know Basa B'Cholom, they didn't know most of the mitzvahs, they hardly knew. They were religiously inclined, they wanted to observe mitzvahs, not that they were reformed, they wanted to observe mitzvahs, but they were ignorant of the halachas. So Rav established the yeshiva, and he taught them a lot of Torah. The Gemara says that the generation of Rav, because they were so behind in learning, he introduced a lot of chumis that were only as a hayrashu. The Gemara tells them among the surprises that Rav had when he came to Bavel, he was surprised one fine day, it was Rosh Chodesh, after the Shachris, all of a sudden the Chazan starts saying Hallel. He said, what is this? He never heard of this. He was already an adult. Never heard of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. There is no such halacha. So the Gemara says, in the end of Gemara Taina, Sova Lav Sukinu, he had in mind, he was going to walk over to the Chazan and tell him, you're making a mistake. There is no such thing. You don't recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. But then, by the time he got to the Chazan already went ahead and he skipped one of the paragraphs of Hallel, then he went to the next paragraph. So this is Nachar Kasha. Why did he skip a paragraph in the Hallel? So Rav made the calculation in his mind, one Kasha far emphasis the other. It must be that they have a minhag to recite Hallel. There is no such thing. It's a minhag to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Whenever one is not obligated to recite Hallel, then you're not permitted to say Hallel Shalom. Then you have to skip. You have to say only Chatzin Hallel. That's why many who want to recite Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim, they like to recite Hallel, but one is not permitted to say Hallel Shalem unless there's an obligation. So many have the practice, they say Chatzi Hallel, they leave out. Say Chatzi Hallel, then there is no prohibition. So there's an issue. You're not allowed to say Hallel Shalem unless one is obligated. So because Hallel Amish Chodesh is not really an obligation, it's not min Atar, it's not min Rabbanan, it's only a minig. That's why many Rishonim in many communities have the practice that no bracha is recited. How can you say Asher Kedushonim the Mitzvah and Tzivonu if we're not obligated even mid the Rabbanim? When we read the Megillah, oh, we like Neiris Chanukah, we're at least obligated mid the Rabbanim. But if you say Chatzi Hallel Amish Chodesh, there isn't even a rabbinical obligation. So many Rishonim are of the opinion that can't say the Tzivonu. Ashkenazim generally do not follow that position. We follow the Rabbi Natan, the Baal HaTosfos, that one is obligated to observe a minig. A minig is binding mitam neder, neder abonon. A minig is, that's a gemara, a minig is binding mitam neder, neder abonon. So that's why we assume that one may recite the bracha Hashem Kedushon of the Mitzvah Yisav Tzivonu, because Hallel, even when one recites Chatzi Hallel, even though it's only a minig. Quote that Rav Chaim Volozhiner had the practice, even though by Ashkenazim we usually do recite the bracha al Chatzi Hallel Amish Chodesh, he had the practice that he wouldn't say his own bracha, he would just listen to the Chazan's bracha. Chazan is like the Shabbos guy. Chazan says the bracha on the Chatzi Hallel. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner and many others had that practice. They would just say Amen. The Yotzi with the Chazan's bracha. What do you need? Everybody to say a questionable bracha. There's a big dispute whether if a person put on the tefillin shel yad and he already said the bracha laniach tefillin and he didn't talk, do you recite a bracha when you put on the shel rosh? So Rashi is of the opinion, Rashi and the Rambam of the opinion, no, you don't recite another bracha. You just said the bracha laniach tefillin and you didn't talk. So the bracha on the shel yad covers the shel rosh as well. So the common practice by Ashkenazim is that everybody says another bracha on the shel rosh, even if you didn't talk. So many have the practice that you don't say the bracha on the shel rosh, but if the chazan says the bracha out loud in broyas, the chazan says the bracha on yach tefillin and on mitzvahs tefillin, the chazan says atman. So you rely on the chazan's bracha. Whenever this is sofik, when he's supposed to say a bracha, so we usually say sofik brachas lehokil. We don't say the bracha. Here we don't really consider it a suffix. We paskin, you do say a bracha on the shel rosh. We paskin that you do say a bracha on the chatzi hallel amish chodesh. But if you can solve the problem by relying on shemer koyin and listen to the chazan say the bracha, so you will yotzei bracha and there's no chashash bracha levatola on our part. The chazan says the bracha. Should all be zeche to see this Beis HaMikdash rebuilt and to bring all of the karbonos. When we recite Kiddush Levana, we offer a prayer at the conclusion of Kiddush Levana. Yiratzim ofanecha, shetemale pigimus alavana v'yir basho miyut. What it means is that the Gemara says, originally the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the sun and the moon, shnei hamoris hagdoilim, two big luminaries. So the moon used to be very big. It used to be or alvana k'or achama k'or sheshis meidreshis. Or Albana used to be much greater. Then at a certain point, the Ribbono Shel Olam was memayit b'Levana. So that's called Pegimas Albana, that the moon keeps on getting smaller and smaller, then it gets bigger and bigger until it reappears. So the Pegimas Albana is what we're praying for. The Yor Albana Karacham Kershinus Mebrachus. It's very strange that there's so many problems in the world that we're worried about. The security of Medina Israel, terrorist activities, anti-Semitism all over the world, Parnosa, so many people have a problem, Parnosa, health, everyone has so many problems. So, boom, this problem, this is what we're worried about. It's very strange. And the Gemara also has an agadita. So Gemara in Chulin, a very strange agadah, that the moon came to the sun Moon came to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he complained, it's not proper that you created the sun and the moon, both Shnei Amoros HaGdolim. It's going to be a problem of jealousy. How can it be that sun and the moon both give the same light? Both great luminaries, both give light. So it's going to look as if there's competition between the two. So the Rabbi Shalom says, that's correct, that's a good idea what you raised an issue. Go make yourself smaller. So the Pasuk says that every Rosh Chodesh we bring 11 Musafim in addition to the 2 Tamidim. Tamash Shachar, Tamash Ben Adbayim, we bring 11 Musafim. So 10 are Korban Oilo, and the 11th is a Korban Chatos. Soy Rosh Chodesh is a Chatos. So the wording of the Pasuk by Soy Rosh Chodesh is slightly different from the wording every Yontif there was a Soy Lachatos. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos there is no. Shabbos there are no chatos in the Musaf. There's only Shnei Chosim and Nishan and Tmimim ba'oilos, only 2 oilos. But on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, when you bring the Musafim, we need a kapara. So we bring a chatos as well. So the Lashon by Soy Rosh Chodesh is different from all of the other Yomim Tov. By Rosh Chodesh it says, it's a chatos Lashem, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam needs a kapara. So the Gemara has such an expression. The Rebbe Shalom tells us, "Avu alai kapara al sheniyata dias hayareh." I need an atonement for the sin that I did, that I made the moon shrink. I made a pgimus alvana. What in the world is that all about? That the Rebbe Shalom did a sin and needs a kapara. So they have printed on the margin in the page of the Gemara. It says, "Yesh ba'agoda zu sod." It's referring to some Kabbalistic secret. What is the Kabbalistic secret? What is this via Talvana that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Aviu alai kapara every Rosh Chodesh medida kavin soy l'Hashem achatus"? Ribbono Shel Olam needs a kapara. And when we say Kiddush Levana, we say Yiratzim Ufarachus Tamale Pekimus Alvana. From all the problems that we have in the world, poverty and terrorism and health. Parnasa and everything, so boom, we're only worried about the Pekimus Alvana. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that Pekimus Alvana is just another term for the problem of evil that we see in the world. Tzadik v'ra'ala Rosh v'tofo, and this conveys the mistaken impression as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control of everything that's happening in the world. Otherwise, how can he allow such tragedies to occur? See, 6 million people lose their lives. They're killed, and so many people suffer from sicknesses. If one would have believed that there are 2 gods, a god of good and a god of evil, okay, so all the kashas would be fine. One would think that God does know what's happening. He's not aware of what's happening. One would believe that God doesn't have power over the world, doesn't have power to straighten out the mess. But we don't believe in any of that. We believe there's one God. He knows what's happening. He's a good God. He's a very good God. He always does tovus, and he hasn't his power to control this. How does he allow all of these tragedies to happen? This is the kasha that all of the Nevi'im, all of the prophets, were bothered with. Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other prophets, he asked the question. How come you have tzadik v'ra'ala Rosh v'tov? So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam says. In the end of time, after all of history will be unraveled, they will be able to look back in retrospect and see that it was taka true, that kol ma David rachmona letavoli. That's what the Gemara says, lo sivavoi, we'll never say the bracha at Dayan HaEmes, we'll only recite the bracha at Toiv HaMeidiv. After all of history will be unfolded, we'll taka see, v'yar alakim eskola sherosa, after everything will be viewed, v'yinei Toiv Meyoit, everything is letavoi. But we're not yet holding by the Ketz HaYamim. So as we see small sections of history, a little bit at a time, 100 years at a time, we see there were terrible tragedies that occurred. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't have any way to explain to you that everything that I'm doing is a teva. The Ribbono Shel Olam claps al chet and he says, Avi wa alai kapara. This is what the expression Mia Talvana means. It represents the problem of evil. So that's when we pray that the day should come, that we should only recite the bracha Teva Meitav. The perception will be that everything is L'Teva. Right now, we're supposed to have emuna that everything is L'Teva. But it doesn't look like that.
There was a din in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the Karbanis. It says, "Skaita machatzotzis alol asechem alzir teishan lechem." The Mishnah in Erchon says, "Al yoshin chadoshim and al yamin teifim." They used to blow chatzotzis, chatzotzis of paper, made from silver, special mitzvah. And it says, "As say, the niskartem lefnei Hashem lokechem." I think we said the pasuk before. So the nusach hatfila that we say, okay, they were saying yalav yod v'yagiyus if amen if it amen, is based on that pasuk. It says when you blow chatzotzis on Shabbos, there's no according to the Gemara, there's no mitzvah chatzotzis on Shabbos. If you don't say Yalav Yav Zichronim on Shabbos, but on Rosh Chodesh and on Yontif and on Chalamai, then it says you should blow chatzotzis b'miskartim lefnei Hashem Elokechem. So we say Yalav Yav Zichronim Tiktaneinu, even though we don't blow the chatzotzis, you should remember us l'tayva. That's so the Kiyas Shofar is a Zeichet. Kiyas Shofar then blows a Zeichet, but the Kiyas Chatzotzis, we thank Chaim very much for giving us the Zeichet. The last line in Yalav V'Yavrei, in the benching, the last line in Yalav V'Yavrei says, Kikem Melech Hanu V'Rachamotem. So the Ramo and Hilchas Bichas Hamazim quotes a Rashbo and the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says that every Brach has to have Shem Malchus. We say, Hashem, Elkein Melech Ha'olam. You have to have Shem and Malchus, unless it's a bracha smucha lechavet bo. And the first bracha has Shem and Malchus, so then the next bracha doesn't have to have Shem and Malchus. It's covered like in the Shemana Esrei. All the brachas don't have Malchus. Then say Ken Melech Olam. But the first bracha has Malchus, so we rely on that. So the Gemara says in Bichas Hamazon, there's a kepeda. You should the Davka not mention Malchus. You should not mention that the Rebbe Shlomo is the Melech in the bracha, the third bracha. Because the first bracha was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu when the moon came down, we thanked the Rebbeinu Shlom for the food. Second bracha was composed when Moshe the moon conquered Eretz Yisrael, we thanked the Rebbeinu Shlom for giving the Sashon Chalpa Labasein Eretz Hemda Tevrofava. Third bracha was composed part by David and part by Shlomo Melech. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Horetz HaToyva. We spoke the other day. HaToyva refers to Yerushalayim. Or HaToyva Hazeva Halvonim. So Yerushalayim has two aspects to it. Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and it's the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Mikdash Melech and Meluchim. Both. Mikdash Melech and Yitzir Meluchim. So David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital. So he composed the first part of the third bracha. We thank the Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. Then Shlomo HaMelech was permitted to build, David HaMelech wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he was a warrior. And his son Shlomo was an Ish Shalom, so he was permitted, so he built the Beis HaMikdash, so he composed the second half of the third bracha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Makom HaMikdash, for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital, and for giving us Malchus Beis David, because Malchus Beis David is the official government in Eretz Yisrael, the official government that Yerushalayim is the capital of that official government. So the Gemara says, if you're going to mention that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is the Melech, and that bracha, so the Malchus Beis David fades into insignificance. How does Malchus Beis David compare to the Malchus Beis David? We want to thank the Rebbeinu Shlomo for giving us Malchus Beis David. So the Gemara says, we shouldn't mention that the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is the Melech. So the Ramon, Hilchos Brachos HaMazon, quotes the Rashba, that the last line in Yalav Yobe in the Shemana Esrei, we say Kel Melech Hanu V'Rachamato. So he says in Shemana Esrei, you want to say Melech is okay, but you want to say in Yalav Yobe in benching, you shouldn't say the word Melech, because the Gemara says you shouldn't say Melech, and you shouldn't describe the Rebbeinu Shlomo as the Melech, because you take away from the Hashivas that the Malach is deserved. So the Malach Ephraim is a special sefer on Hilchos Roshani and Kippur, a little bit of Sukkos. So he records that the minig is that on Rosh Hashanah, when you bench and you say Yalav Yavrei, just like you say HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, so you say Melech. At the end of Yalav Yavrei on Rosh Hashanah, you do say Melech. So that Rani Master doesn't make any sense. The reason why you don't say Melech is not because you're lacking the Bechina Malchus. There's a Kepeda not to say Melech. Why does he say that you say Melech on Rosh Hashanah? So Ritzi Pesach Frank and others, and they say, the whole Rashba is a Chumah, that you shouldn't say the word Melech on the last line of benching. Because it's not part of the, it's not really part of the bracha. It's really part of Yalav Yavrei. It's not part of the third bracha in the bracha. So the whole thing is a chumrah all year long. Aseres Mei Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, meaning there's a Medusa Melech.